Hello, Fight Insight fans, viewers, listeners. I'm the Filipino podcasting machine, Princey D, and with me as always, Mr. Timmy B. Before we get started, please remember to follow, subscribe to us on YouTube or wherever you get your pods. On today's podcast, we talk to one of the world's greatest ring announcers of all time. We take a look at the new heavyweight landscape in the UFC, talk about Carolina's loss, pick our fighters for a weekly in on site, and a whole lot more. Timmy, hit it.
Yes, Timmy B. Princey D. Fight in sight. Yes.
Prince was very nervous during that intro.
Yeah.
Our guest today tells you when the judges are ready. He tells you when the fighters are ready, and he'll ask you to make noise when you are ready. He's one of the most well-known ring announcers of our generation, and his voice is synonymous with combat sports. You may recognize him from Golden Boy Promotions, boxing events, video games, movies, television shows, the WEC, Invicta FC, and of course, the UFC. Prince, this is your opportunity.
The viewers are ready. The listeners are ready. Fight Insight fans, make some noise for Joe Martinez!
Oh my gosh, wow.
Joe, that was a part of the reason why I was so nervous, was because I had to introduce you, man. I'm sweating buckets over here, bud. Like, unbelievable. We've got a celebrity over here.
It was emotional. It was emotional for me. Yeah. I've never had one of those.
Joe, how much will you be suing Prince now for?
Oh, not at all. I'm all for sharing. Yeah, I'm all for sharing. I'm nice, not that guy. Nice.
Well, I appreciate you, Joe, because I've got nothing to offer, man. Listen, your palm tree behind you is probably worth more than my whole apartment here. So thanks a lot, Joe. Appreciate it.
Oh gosh, Joe, it's all temporary.
Joe, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. We are in Toronto, Canada. As you know, we're huge fans of yours. This is our 26th episode, so we're excited to have you on. And like I was telling you before the podcast, people are so excited to hear from you. Frankly, we've never had the reaction to a guest that we have had when we announced that you were coming on. So thank you so much.
Awesome, man. Well, it's a pleasure, Timmy and Princey, and just looking forward to spending some time with you guys tonight, man.
Nice. Now, Joe, the big question here is, how does someone become a ring announcer? Like, what is the transition that you found yourself in this career?
For me, it was literally a break. I broke my wrist playing soccer in high school, so I didn't get to play baseball that year, and that was my senior year. And I enjoyed messing around with the television headline news and just mimicking what they say. And I was in the locker room one day, and the basketball team came in while the soccer team was getting ready to go out. And I started announcing the guys as they come into the door, like, number 23, Carzell Jordan! Oh, you know, announce these guys, right? Sick. So then the coach comes walking in, and I'm like, and the head coach for the Aztecs, Bob Burton, you know, and he's like, hey, you should do our games. And I was like, yeah, for sure, I would. But the athletic director was just a mean old man on his way out, and he just despised any students doing anything with it. So it kind of was my shot down. But it was a moment for me that I realized it was something I wanted to try and pursue. And I didn't know in what capacity. I mean, my ultimate goal, I think, was television news, you know, sportscast. Okay. I landed in professional baseball for 22 years, you know, in pro boxing, and that's where I stuck around.
But so when you started doing that in the high school, and you said it, had you been doing that like at home, or was it just something you like just picked up? Like, even when you just say it now, Prince and I were like, whoa, that sounds good. Is it something? No.
I think where I first was fascinated with the public address announcing was listening to the Chicago Bulls guy when he introduced Michael Jordan. And that's kind of, I feel like maybe a way that I imitated was his style, you know, just a little bit rough, you know, like Michael Jordan. I don't remember exactly how he did it, but he was, ah, dude, that's dope. Like, I want to do that. So when Carzell came walking through the door, I mean, this, he's about 6'3", you know, a brother from Alabama. And he comes walking through the door, and he had the biggest smile, man. He's like, oh, Joe, man, that was, you know, this is back in the 90s, man. We're just young bucks back then. Yeah. But I always enjoy sharing that because it reminds me of him. And, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to trace something back that far and still know the guy and have that relationship.
And so you were doing it in baseball, and then you did it in baseball first, and then somehow you got picked up into boxing. And how did that work? Was it like you were looking to make that transition?
No, I actually never was. While I was in college at Cal State Fullerton, I was announcing college basketball, and the scorekeeper worked for the commission in California and just said, hey, you know what? You should get into boxing. And I was like, Dean, I don't know anybody. You know, he goes, well, I do. So just let's see what we can do here. So I get this phone call from a promoter, and he goes, hey, this is Ray out in Maywood, and your uncle told me you announce fights. I'd never done a fight, never researched it, just paid attention maybe a little bit to Buffer and Lennon. I was like, yes, I do. And he goes, well, I got a show coming up, and this is back in 2000. He says, I'd like you to be my announcer. I said, sure. You know, and he rented my tux for me. I was broke, man. I had nothing. And I think he gave me $200, you know, end of the night. And I just fell in love with it, you know. And that's where I think I caught the bug.
Hey, Joe, so I mean, when you get in on the ring and that rush that you get, like what's the feelings that you get as soon as you step in and you hold on to that mic? Like, what goes through your mind when you're doing it?
Don't screw up. You know?
There you go.
No, I mean, I have to calm myself down sometimes. I think it's different venues spark different control things for me. Like a very loud, full place, I can't hear myself. So I have to try and internally hear what I'm saying without pitching too high and, you know, doing something silly or saying, you know, sounding weird. But lately, like in the Apex, it's just, you know, it's quiet zone. It's like announcing a funeral sometimes, you know, and it's yeah, almost depressing, you know. Of course, the fights are what it's all about. I think a ring announcer should just present the fighters and do their job in that capacity. And remember that it's not about them, you know. That's why I don't have social media, is because, for one thing, I don't really care what people think about me. If it's good, great. If it's bad, you know, whatever. It's everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a flavor. I'm not everybody's choice. And some people choose me. So I just let it be what it's going to be, you know. And my friends that are on my social media, like my Instagram, they're my friends. They're my family. They're going to keep it real with me. No fluff pieces, you know, nothing like that. And that's what I appreciate in life, is just people that are straight up and honest with me. But I don't need trolls, man. I've had that. It's annoying, you know. And I don't deal well with it because I need to. I think my personality is, I like being liked. I mean, who doesn't?
Yeah, of course.
And when I feel like I'm not, I get a little bit offended and maybe a little hurt by it. So I just avoid it completely.
Yeah. No, I know. It's a crazy thing. Joe, I'm not going to lie. Prince and I are dying to get trolls. Like, if we make it big enough that we can have people say they hate us, oh, man, that's like the greatest feeling. Joe, yeah. when did you know that you had made it big, or that you were big time? And you know what I mean? Like, when did you realize, like, holy cow, I'm Joe Martinez?
No.
When you can afford a palm tree in your backyard. Me,
Tim. Hey, this came with the house, bro.
Let's go.
No, but like when
they were gonna take it, I was like, no, leave it.
No, but I mean, like, at what point did you go, holy cow, like I'm at this echelon now, like I'm one of the main guys, like I'm announcing Triple G versus Canelo? Like, when did that sink in for you?
It never has, and maybe that's why I appreciate every opportunity I get. You know, I'm not I'm not baloneying you here, you know, or BSing you. I don't see myself as the best in the world. I don't see myself as anything special. You know, I enjoy what I do, and I'm blessed to do it. And as long as people want to hire me to do what I do, then I'm going to keep going with it, you know, and I enjoy it, you know, but I know it's not about me, and I know it's temporary. I know my time here is temporary. And if I can entertain anybody and, you know, present them in a way that makes them feel awesome, which is how I love to introduce fighters, then for me, that's huge, you know. But I don't ever say, well, I'm Joe Martinez, and this is now. No, I'm very humble. I came from a poor background, you know, a drug-addicted father. I had, you know, I had a tough childhood, but I persevered, and I think that's why I can stay humble. You know, I don't take too much for what it looks like. You know, I take it for what it's worth.
Nice, nice, Joe. Transitioning from boxing over to MMA, you know, like you said, like, hey, I don't even watch boxing. I didn't know it. Did you know MMA before you came in? Do you train at all?
I trained in karate for a little bit. As far as MMA, the first show I ever did was in San Diego, early mid-2000s, and I was just like, what? You know, this is not fun. And my wife and I went, and we're like, this kind of sucks, you know, because they're just laying on the ground. I don't know what's going on down here, you know? Like, what is that? And then Reed Harris called me from WEC, and he goes, hey, Joe, I got a show. I'd like you to come announce it. And I'm like, what is it? He's like, it's World Extreme Cage Fighting, WEC, and it's mixed martial arts. I'm like, sure, yeah, I'll be up there. And, you know, years and years later, when I'm looking back on that, I'm like, thinking of that card, Uriah Faber's on it, Eddie Wineland's on it. He's the first bantamweight champion in that fight that I did for WEC. First bantamweight world champion ever in MMA. Razor Rob McCullough. And I didn't know any of this stuff, but I brought a buddy of mine, and he's like, oh my gosh, that's Herb Dean. And I'm like, who's Herb Dean, dude? But I thought I said Herb Green. You know, I'm like, who's Herb Green? You know? And Herb and I even talk about it still. Like, we laugh because the first time I ever introduced him, I called him Herb Green. Oh. I didn't know his name, you know. I thought
that was, yeah, whatever.
We just laugh, you know. Like, you know, we've come a long way since then. Matter of fact, you know what's funny? And it's not even funny because I think it's stupid. But on YouTube, there's a video, and everybody's going to see it now because I'm telling them. Yeah. But it says Herb Dean gets mad at Joe Martinez. Have you guys seen this?
I saw
that. Okay. So I saw this a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, Herb, dude, there's a video of you mad at me on YouTube. He's like, what? And I said, yeah, it was after Bilal got poked in the eye, and I came over to ask what you were going to call it. And you were like, hold on, back off, man. You know, like he like called me out, like punked me. And I was like, whoa, bro, okay. Because, I mean, we've got a great rapport. We hang out. We eat together. We do things, you know. And he goes, oh, man, he's like, that's people, man. That's just people. I'm like, you're right. That is, you know, it's a bummer. But it's like the whole thing behind it. So if I can explain real quick, the eye poke in Nevada, came to a no decision. So Nevada state rule says no decision. UFC wants you to say no contest. I kind of got into a little bit of trouble. So I'm licensed by the State of Athletic Commission, the Nevada State, but UFC pays me, right? So what am I going to say? So I just went with a no decision. I'm like, hey, Herb, what is it? He goes, I like it as a no contest. So I announced it as a no decision because I told the commission, no contest. They says, no, no decision. So I said, no decision. I'm sorry I'm long-winded on this, but it kind of, it's my chance to get it out there.
So, it's Joe Uncandid. Now we know everything. That's a background story, right?
Right. Yeah. So UFC calls me and they're like, hey, it's a no contest. And I'm like, the commission told me no decision. They're like, okay, moving forward is a no contest. So the next fight, of course it happens again. And I'm like, oh, dang it. All right, well, I'm going with what UFC says. So I call it a no contest. I go down there, and now the commission's after me. It's a no decision. So the next show, I talked to Mark Ratner because he's the oversight with UFC, and Bob Bennett's the director or the executive director for the commission. I said, look, for the sake of my humility, can we just call it a no contest? That way nobody gets upset. You understand it's a no decision. So yeah, end of story. There you go. So Herb Dean gets mad at Joe Martinez.
I did watch that video in preparation for, you know, talking to you today. It didn't look that bad though. I mean, yeah, he goes, hey, just back up. I didn't take that as him being aggressive. Like he's in the heat of the moment, right? Like he's just saying, hey, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
But you saw, Tim, that they picked up his microphone, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't broadcast. So somebody internally sabotaged me. Who was it? I want to know. Who sabotaged me?
Oh, all right.
Oh.
I don't know. We will find that out, Joe. Your mic just cut a little bit there, but what you're saying, whoever sabotaged you in the ring might be sabotaging our connection now too. So we gotta watch out.
Yeah, see.
But Joe, so you're telling me the people care enough about that semantics of that word to call you after the fact? Like you're talking like the next day they're calling you about this?
No, like immediately afterwards. and I understood it. I understood it. But, you know, I've always been taught, not that anybody even gave me lessons, but the commission is the rule. You know, what they say is what goes. It's like California. A fight in boxing can be stopped by a referee and they call it a knockout. Even though the guy never got knocked out, he just got stopped on the ropes. They call it a knockout. In Vegas, it would be a TKO. So every state has different verbiage for, you know, situations. But that was a moment for me where I guess I was humbled, you know, because, you know.
Yeah, it's something. Yeah, it's something. How
did Joe, you know what? Next time, Joe, just say no contest, no decision. Just say both of them. And then you was like, I covered both. What else can you say? You got nothing on me. I said both of it. Right. So there you go. That's what I think. Umbrella term. There you go.
Yeah.
Joe,
Prince is an aspiring ring announcer. He has announced house shows at our local gym. For all the people that are aspiring ring announcers, what advice would you give them on how to crack into this?
Well, to tell you the truth, Joe,
it's extremely difficult.
Joe, before you begin,
okay.
After hearing your story, I don't want to do it anymore. No thanks.
Which one?
The decision. I don't want Herb Dean putting me on a chokehold, man. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you'd be all right. He doesn't take it too seriously either, you know. But as a referee, in his defense, his duty is to protect fighters. And he had to take that time with Bilal to make sure he was okay and about his faculties and whatnot, and to determine as well what he was going to call the fight. So, you know, I respect that, but yeah.
But advice.
First of all, have a real job, you know, a career, and let the announcing be a hobby, you know, because it's really difficult to break in. There's only so many numbers of jobs available out there for ring announcers, I think. I think it's a low goal. Like, aim higher. Don't come after my job. I need this. So go away. All right. I don't have time for this, Prince. You got to just beat it, bro.
Joe, what are you talking about, man? I'm announcing cockfights next week. So that's the only gig I've got. And I'm doing it for free, man. I don't got a palm tree in my backyard. I've got a parking lot, Joe. Unbelievable, man. Just a little bit of advice. Come on, man. Help me out here, bro.
This is a backdrop. Okay, so check it out. I get these questions a lot. Like, how do I get into it? So if you say you want to become a ring announcer, I would recommend contact the State Athletic Commission. Ask for a list of promoters that are licensed. Get their contact information. Have a demo showing your talents. You know, 90-second video. 1 minute introduction of yourself, maybe, and start shopping yourself out there to promoters. You know, that's what I did. I sent DVDs to every promoter I could find. I handed the UFC a DVD during a Tito Ortiz press conference in Anaheim, California at the ESPN Zone. you know, and they do remember. I mean, Craig Borsari is kind of like my main over there, and he does remember that day. So that's pretty cool for me. Like, you know, I don't know if that's how I got in, because Reed Harris is the one that called me, and UFC, you know, eventually dissolved that over into, you know, their organization. But I mean, yeah, and have thick skin, because it's going to come down to taking a lot of no's and sticking around and persevering. You know, if you want to do anything and succeed in life, you know, I don't care what it is. It's like you've got to be willing to push as far as you're willing to go to chase that dream, you know, and attain that goal, whatever it may be.
Damn, that is good advice.
Joe, you know what? I'll do something better. Instead of sending out DVDs, I'm going to send out VHS cassettes. I still have some in my storage, so I'm going to be sending out those bad boys. If they see this, they'll be like, wow, that's a classic. You know what? We might take this guy on. VHS cassettes. You guys still remember those?
And Yeah. They're going to still try to find a way to play them. I got a demo still on a cassette, a voice demo. I traveled with the Olympic team in 2000. They said, can you send us something? So I had this little Iowa recording machine, and I sit there, and I could play music in the background. And so I did a full-on introduction, like a whole, like, welcome to the Diamond here in Lake Elsinore, California. You know, I did the whole thing. And then I did player introductions, I had music, I had all this stuff. And I still have the tape, but I have nowhere to play it. So find me a stereo that has a cassette player. So I can show my kids that, I don't know, I had to work. I had to work to get to where I am, you know? It just didn't happen, you know?
That's awesome. Joe,
thankfully, I don't have to send out demos anymore, but...
Yeah. Well, they can find it anywhere they want. They just go online in 1 second. Go on UFC Fight Pass, and you'll get a ton of Joe Martinez.
Google Herb Dean, you'll find Joe Martinez.
Or Herb Green, either way.
Herb Green, yeah.
Yeah. What has been the greatest thrill of your career so far as an announcer? What's the best moment for you?
I've had quite a few. I think one of my most exciting, probably the most exciting at the time, you know, up to that date in my career was Faber fighting Austin Sal in Sacramento at Arco Arena with WEC. And that was like an electric crowd, you know, maybe 16,000 people there, huge stage. And it was one of those vibes that it was just like heart pumping, you know, it's like you couldn't even feel it beating in your chest, but it was you could feel the electricity, you know. And I don't know if you've ever experienced something like that. I'm standing in the cage, and it's just rattling, like everything's like, I'm like, oh my gosh. And I had to look around, I had to breathe a little bit, because, and then that was one of the things too, where I had to maintain, because I couldn't hear myself, maintain my, you know, my levels. But yeah, I mean, that was just like, for me at that point in my career, it was like, okay, this is legit, you know, we're doing something here.
Yeah.
Joe, awesome. I you know what? I'm glad you shared that story, because I just wanted to say when I announced my first fight, it was a Muay Thai event, and I could feel the crowd, because it was like the main event and the two guys were ready to go at each other. And we got the crowd so hyped. People were coming out of their chairs. Everybody was just ready to go. And I guess it went to one side where a person got knocked out. It got so bad in the arena. I think they fought at the parking lot, because I was like, everybody, come on, let's get them. even the promoters like, Prince, man, you got them so hyped. They fought in the parking lot. They're like, I got to go, man. I'm going on break. Somebody cover me. It was bad.
Oh,
it was, yeah,
gosh,
but that feeling, dude, when you're like, when you know what, they come to you like, oh my gosh, that was amazing. Did a great job. That intense feeling when you know you're in the thick of it, right? And it's up to you to hype up the whole crowd. Absolutely. Like, I for sure, that's one of those experiences.
You're like Limp Bizkit at Lollapalooza 99 and Fred Durst being like, give me something to break, you know, and everybody's like, ah, losing their mental, dude. I just saw that. I saw that documentary on HBO. I'm like, what a jerk, dude. The promoter's like, hey, dude, we need you to chill it out up in here. And he's like, yo, check this out. They want me to chill. Well, you know what? You know? And just lost it. I'm like, whoa, gosh.
Oh, that's crazy.
But yeah, you're right, man. Yeah. I've seen that stuff, though, where fans are fighting each other. Like, this guy's rooting for this guy, and And I'm sitting behind these two guys, and I could just see him kind of like bantering back and forth, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, talking in Spanish to each other, cussing each other out. Next thing you know, it's just like this guy hits this guy, and then his buddy hits him, and it's just full on assault. And it's right across the street from a police station in Puerto Rico. And they ended up just funneling them out this door. And then there's a police station. I'm like, that was pretty brilliant, but it was kind of chaotic at the same time. Oh man.
Hey Joe, did they ever ask you, the promoter ever ask you, I'm like, Joe, you need to stop this. We need your help to calm them all down. Did you ever grab the microphone and start singing something from Selena? Like, ah, hi. Joe knows.
Oh my gosh.
Did they ever tell you
to? Me duele.
There you go. I was close.
Joe, can I ask? Because that is one of the things about you, though, is that I loved it in Invicta, or depending on where you are, you'll go in and out between Spanish and English as you're announcing. And that's so cool. You grew up knowing Spanish? Like, what is your background?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No, I speak a little Spanish. I can obviously announce in Spanish. But yeah, I'm half Mexican, half Irish and Scandinavian and whatever else you could throw in the mix.
All right.
But that was for me, and I think what happened, why I wanted to learn Spanish, was because I'm very light skinned and I grew up, all my friends were Mexican. And I kind of felt like, okay, I got the last name, but I don't really have anything else. I'm more, you know, I'm still Weddo. And, so I was like, I got to learn Spanish, you know, just to have a little bit of community, acceptance, you know, really stupid, but you know how it is being a kid, you know, and my friends never treated me any different. They never said anything to me about looking white or not looking Mexican enough, or, you know, it's like, we're boys, man. It's like colors was whatever. But for me, I think internally, I felt like that was something that I needed to do. So I learned it. And, you know, and it's looking back, yeah, it's pretty dumb. I mean, almost embarrassing, you know. Why did you learn Spanish? Because I was embarrassed that I didn't know it and I looked white. I don't know.
No, that seems like one of the best reasons you could have. I mean, that's a good backstory of how you had, and now you've leveraged that into the point where when you announce it, like I said, I think it's, you know, it's a great talent that you have, or a great skill that you have, you know. Joe, we went to the fans and we asked fans for questions. So I'm going to ask you some fan questions here. The first one is not so much a question, but I thought I should shout this person out. Sarah LaFleur said, I don't have a question. I've just known that dude since I was little. So I don't know if you know that person, but she just wanted to say hello. Sarah LaFleur. Maybe I'm saying it wrong.
Sounds familiar.
All right. Well, she's saying hello, Joe. Aaron's awesome. Too. Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
Joe, don't worry, Joe. We can edit this. There's not a problem. Just in case somebody, like, you know, like what a relative, like, oh my God, I can't believe you forgot about me. That's how it is, eh, Joe? That's how it is. You forgot about me.
What are you talking about? I did Ancestry DNA. I don't have kids out there, bro. What are you talking about?
My wife, Erin's S2, she likes to ask questions. She's got one. Are you developing an eye for future stars? And is there anyone that you should tell us to watch out for?
That's pretty good. Well, I can see some in the boxing realm that I enjoy watching. Virgil Ortiz, he's out of Texas. Really solid, good kid, solid fighter. And I remember after one of his fights in Vegas, I think it was a Canelo fight, we're walking back to the hotel and nobody said anything to him. Didn't know who he was, nothing. And I said, enjoy this, because watch, you're going to blow up, dude, and you will not be able to do this again. You know, you'll have to take a private car back to the hotel. And now he's getting to that level. So it's pretty neat to see that, you know, when you can eye something like that. As far as, do I have an eye for talent? I don't really think I do. But you can tell when, I think it's, you want to root for guys because, you know, maybe they have a super personality. And it's hard to make friends with fighters. Not that it's difficult to make friends with fighters. I mean, it's more like it's difficult to root for them and see them lose. Like Cub Swanson's a good friend of mine. And I almost hate announcing his fights because I don't want to see him lose. You know, and then my heart's broken. I'm in there like, gosh, and I look at him like, I'm sorry, bro, you know, or talking to Kenda after the fights. I'm like, dang, man, just, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And like, I feel like it was my responsibility for him to win, but it's not, you know, you can't put that on yourself, right? Yeah.
And Joe, how does that affect your announcing? So you're like, and the winner is this guy right here. Yeah, he won.
Yeah, that guy.
Is it that guy? Yeah.
Yeah. And your winner somehow by unanimous decision is this guy.
By robbery. Yeah. Joe, the next one is Sushi 5-7. And I think you've kind of already answered this, but is it hard announcing in the Apex with no fans? And we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, but, you know, and you already kind of mentioned, like, in the Apex, it's a different thing, right?
Yeah. It is. It's actually really cool. I enjoy it. But yeah, I enjoy every minute of it until the main event, because my call, as you know, it cries for approval. Yeah. Like, yes, main event.
Yeah.
You know, so I had to kind of doctor it a little bit. To judges are ready, fighters are ready, fight fans watching live, let the world know you are ready. So like, if you're at home, you can social media, I'm ready, you know, whatever, because nobody in there is making noise. Nobody's making noise.
Yeah. No,
but they are allowing, we had 70 fans at the last one.
Yeah. But still,
so, Joel, yes, some it's of those, difficult. Good question.
Yeah. Some of those Apex fights though, I'm surprised, like even with the 70 fans, it's still pretty quiet. Like when Misha Tate won, you could literally hear one person going, "Yay, Misha!" Like nothing.
and Joe, it's the worst because when you're giving your
heart, I walked out.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I go ahead. I was just gonna say I walked out of that show where there were 70 fans, and I walked past all the fans in the little stands there, and I'm like, "You guys can cheer, you can have fun." You know, you don't have, it's not a quiet event, and they're like, yeah, all right. You know, so you got into it a little bit more, but yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, Joe. So I was saying, like, that's the worst when you're like screaming your lungs out and you go, "Are you ready?" And all, here's this. It's like clapping flies. And you're like, wow, that's great. And you walk off like, well, I did my job. Okay. I'll see you later. See you next week.
You walk off defeated. Like, why am I even here?
What am I here? Like?
All right. This is a great Instagram page, The Fight Bubble. We use a lot of their stuff actually on our podcast. The Fight Bubble asks, what is the favorite nickname you've ever called out?
Can you tell me what you think it is?
I feel like the Black Beast is a pretty good one. Prince.
You know what? I think that would roll out of my tongue would be Keith the Mean Desjardins. No.
It's actually Faber, the California kid.
Nice. That's a good one.
I think that's my, or Saul Canelo Alvarez. I enjoy that one too.
Yeah. There you go. Is there any name is there any name that you didn't want to say? I remember there was an event just a little while ago. There was a guy that was something like the Mongolian Killer or something. And the announcers were saying, I don't know if they're going to let him use that nickname. And it was like thing. And then I think it was said. And I remember the announcers saying like, whoa, I can't believe they actually let him use that. Is there a nickname that you thought this is a little off?
What's this guy's? I can't think of his name. I hate to say anything too, but I probably should because I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. And he's like a demon child or something. I don't even remember. But I'm like, gosh, I don't know if I could say this, you know? Yeah, and I might have skipped saying it, but yeah, he's a UFC fighter.
Oh,
don't remember who it is. Yeah.
All right. Gosh, and I can picture Joe going, and the demon child.
Yeah, do a little blessing in right between. Joe,
extend your hands forward.
Joe, our friend Rich Kabating, he asks, do you ever get nervous when you see a name or hometown that's difficult to pronounce?
Yes. And if anything, the most important thing for me to do is pronounce their name correctly. I can get their names wrong, their weights wrong, their height wrong, but if I get the town and the name wrong, that's an ultimate fail, you know? So yes, I do. Nicholas Stolza. It looks like Nicholas Stolze or Stolz, but I want to say it correctly, but it's Stolza. And you know, there's other ones out there. Malmo, Sweden, Gdansk, Poland. Who's the other kid? What's this guy from? But he goes, oh, they love you. They love you in where was he? Where's he from? They love you in Poland because you say it and it's Unyeyuv, Poland. And find the fighter who's from Unyeyuv, Poland. Okay. And it's spelled Unijow. And he says, oh, they love you there because you said the name correct. My accent's probably really bad for Poland, but that was like, for me, I was like, yes. Cool, you know, because I want these dudes to be like, yes, thank you very much. And that's where they're from. You know, you guys know you're from. They don't say Toronto. You guys say Toronto? Or do you say Toronto?
Joe, you got to be cool. You got to say the six now. That's what we say, the six.
Dude, that's legit because when I go up there, I will.
Yeah, that's
I will do it.
Nice.
Or if I get a fighter from them, say straight out of the six.
That'd be pretty good.
Tell you what, I've had fighters from Compton, and I've been able to say that straight out of Compton. Here is for sure, dude.
That's
sometimes
awesome.
Sometimes that stuff happens, you know. And those are stupid little victories for guys like us, ring announcers. You know, like entertainment for us and wins, you know.
Yeah, no, that's so cool.
But Joe, do you ever get on the like in the ring and literally you see a name and you're like, oh God, here we go. The name is and you know, here's a trick too. Here's what I learned. If you can't pronounce the name, you just say it fast. That's it. You just gotta do it quick.
Yeah.
You just do it quick. You say it quick and then
you
do it quick and they try to hear it, like, what was the last name? Oh, it's too late. The fight's gotta begin. Let's go. Round one. Let's go. That's it. That's true.
It's actually funny that you just said that because that's exactly how I react. We do get in UFC, we get audio files of the guys. So they will be saying their own name, but everybody hears it differently. You know, Fitzgerald might hear it this way. Anik might hear it this way. And then we all have to collectively agree that, hey, it sounds like this, but we're all going to say this. I'm like, okay. And like Gastelum, right? His last name is Gastelum, but what do they call him? Gastelum, right? He goes by Gastelum. But he's Chicano. He's from Arizona. Yeah, so that was another thing. I mean, that's one of the names, an example anyway.
I
write everything out phonetically and try to accent where it needs to go and not screw that up. The Russian guys are probably the harder ones because the accents aren't where I think they should be.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, Joe. Thank you. What we're going to do is we're going to get on to some other topics and you're going to stick around. You're okay to stick around a little bit longer?
Let's do it.
All right. The first thing you wanted to talk about actually was Carolina, and this is a classic name that I would have no idea how to pronounce, but Carolina Kowalczyk, or do you know how to say this, Joe?
Yeah, that sounded good to me. I can't even see that.
So
I'm sorry, I have terrible vision.
Carolina. Did want to talk about her fight. I mean, that was heartbreaking on the weekend. She lost her fifth straight. You know, she was a former title challenger. She was breaking down you know, in the ring at the loss. I mean, it was a good fight. She got beat by Jessica Penne with the armbar. Very impressive performance by Jessica Penne. Right after, she was releasing on Instagram like stories, and it was like a long story, and she's crying and you see the tear. Like, it was just heartbreaking, like, to see her lose. But Jessica Penne, yeah, I think it was yesterday or the day after the fight, she released such a beautiful statement. It says, "My heart goes out to you. I too have experienced so much heartbreak and adversity in the sport. I know how it feels to be in the lowest place and wanting out. If and when you choose to walk away, then you can walk away proud of all you've accomplished. But if you choose to stay, I know you can come back strong and we'll have so much to give. I want you to know that I know how good you are, and I was very nervous to fight you because of it. You're a champion and an outstanding athlete. It was an honor to share the octagon with you." I mean, beautiful statement, right, from someone, and that just shows the respect. We talk, Joe, a lot on our podcast about respect and being honorable in martial arts. What does that mean to you when you see stuff like that? And you must see that a lot, like in the ring right after fight.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, because these guys and girls, they sell out, you know, they sell out for the sport, they sell out for the fans, you know, and they leave it all in there. And I mean, it's something I would never do, because I never have had any type of motivation that even comes close to what these guys have, you know, the training, the diet, the just the relentless pursuit to reach the top, you know. And I can understand, though, that breakdown, that heartbreak, the final emotions of saying goodbye, you know. I retired from baseball announcing after 22 years, and that was heartbreaking. You know, it's like breaking up with your high school girlfriend. You're like, dang, I hate to do it, but we got to move on, you know. So it's on to the next chapter of life, you know. Like I said, all this is temporary. We're here for a very short period of time, and what we do in between that time and the later in life is what matters the most, you know. It's like, what do we do now from birth to death that's going to affect this world in a positive way or a negative way? So I think she's got a lot still left in her to contribute, and it may not be as a professional fighter, but as a human being. And every struggle in life and challenge is a part of your testimony in life. It's like, you can help somebody at the lowest, like Jessica did with that response to her, or you can continue to smash them, you know. And it's easy to smash somebody. It's hard to love somebody.
Yeah, no, that's really well said, Joe. Prince, what did you think about that when you saw that hole going down?
Yeah, it was sad, because I mean, you know, Carolina's, you know, it's her fifth loss. You know, hopefully she stays on and she continues fighting. Penny's, it's her second win streak for her. And I mean, you know, it was heartbreaking. I mean, it's hard to see somebody go through such a thing like that. And I mean, in this sport, you got to stay on top, right? And you got to win. And remember, in the last podcast we had, we were interviewing Malcolm X Braun, and he knew he had to get the win, and the pressure's on, right? UFC is like the pinnacle, especially if you're an MMA in this type of career. You need to stay on top. You need to get those wins. You got to show you're marketable, right? And so hopefully Carolina is able to bounce back from it. And, you know, whatever she decides to pursue, she'll be successful. I feel she's a fighter in and out of the cage. So I think she'll bounce right back off of it. And it's actually really, it's nice to see other fighters supporting one another. It's so nice to see that type of respect. Like, it's, you know what, that's what I like to see, right? You know, getting even getting pictures of fighters hanging out outside of the ring and outside of the cage. To me, I love watching that. I remember I think there was a picture of Woodley and Usman together. I don't know what they were sharing. I think they were sharing a cake or something like that. And they were both eating, they were talking, and I was like, wow, yes, that's what we need to see, right? So, yeah, that's my thoughts on Carolina. Yeah, hopefully she bounces back. You got this.
Yeah. Joe, did you see this question at one of the pressers? Did you see when Juliana Pena came in to ask about Nunes?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Tell me.
So they're doing the pre-fight presser where they let people come in and ask questions, right? And Dana White's sitting there answering questions like from the media. And in comes Juliana Pena with her little dress, and she's got her glasses on, and she looks all nice. And she just politely asks Dana, where's Nunes at? When's our fight? And this was like the weekend that they're supposed to fight. And he says, Juliana, you know she's got COVID. And she's like, I heard that she tested negative. When will she be able to fight? She can come here right now. And then Dana's like, we're going to rebook it. We're going to rebook it. So I just thought that was a really cute moment, like where she took her shot to get out in front of the public. She asked it politely. Again, another sign of like being respectful and all that. But she was taking her shot. Have you ever seen respectful callouts like that, Joe? Like, what do you think about that kind of stuff?
That's great. I think that's the other way to approach it, right? Okay, who's probably the most hated boxer in the world? Floyd Mayweather Jr. Why? Because everybody wants to see him lose. So what do? Mm-hmm. They buy fights, right? But that's how it goes. So what happened with Conor McGregor? He called out everybody. He made himself the villain and built that following, that fan base. You know, I was in Ireland. So 2014, I was in Cork, Ireland, and I was at this bar and I was talking to these people. I'm like, you guys know who Conor McGregor is? And they're like, oh yeah, you either hate him or you love him. He's an ass. You know? And I'm like, okay. But he represents the country, and kudos to him, dude. I mean, think about it. He's the first Irish world champion, not only in one division, but in two divisions at 45 and 55. And he did it twice. He did it in Cage Warriors, and then he went over to UFC and did it there as well. So guys, they make a way by being a villain, because nice guys don't often get the big money fights.
Yeah. Prince, what did you think when you saw the Julianne question?
I thought it was cool. I thought I was like, oh, wow, way to put Dana on the spot. It's just like, hey, when am I going to fight next? So like, can we talk about this after? Can I see you backstage? Like, we talked about this, right? And you can see, Joe, you can see her in the back of Dana's like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? Don't make this awkward.
Yeah, Prince, it was funny because Dana did say like, hey, just go enjoy the fights, Juliana. We're going to get this done. And he was like, December. We'll do it in December. And Juliana's like, so December? He's like, yes, we'll work on it. We'll work on it. Like, it really flustered him. I thought it was a good call out and a good shout out by Juliana. She took her shot and she got some good publicity out of it.
So I was surprised they didn't cut her. I was surprised they didn't cut her mic. I was like, as she started talking, I was like, or, you know what I mean? So.
No, you're not going to do that to her, man. Joe, how about this guy? Mr. Cyril Gane. Were you picking Cyril to win this fight?
I was surprised, you know, and it wasn't until the odds came out on that fight that I was like, whoa, because I believe Lewis was maybe plus 375.
He was a pretty
big dog.
Yeah,
he was Lewis was a big dog and Gane was a big favorite, and that kind of surprised me. And then the result, I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, I've seen Cyril fight and I've seen him knock dudes out. But when you step up in class, and I've seen Derek Beast a couple few times as well, and dude throws bombs, you know, watch out. So the heavyweight title fight should be phenomenal, mind blowing, must see TV, right? If you can't go live.
Yeah, no, that's going to be a crazy fight. I did predict that. I saw Gane winning that fight by keeping that distance and the long strikes. But, I mean, it was a masterful performance. Prince, what did you see?
You know what? I had my money on Lewis. I thought Lewis was – because, you know, Joe, you know these guys. You're in Houston. I thought he was going to get fired up. He was going to – you know, Gane was going to walk into a phantom punch out of nowhere, and it's game over, right? That's what I was thinking. But – you even when you saw the fight too, there was just something off with Lewis. Like, he was throwing switch kicks. I was expecting him to, you know, first round you test each other out, you feel each other out. In the second round, I thought his hands were gonna fly. I thought he was gonna come swinging at Gane, and that was it. But yeah, it was just a different Lewis that kind of came out that day and that night. And so, I really like Lewis because, I mean, some of the stuff that he says on the cage is some of the funniest things. And plus, he's also a nice guy. He's, you know, some of the things that he does outside the cage. And I don't know if you guys saw, there was a there was pictures of him. I guess there was a flood in Houston where he had his truck. He was helping people come out, and he was doing all those things. And so, plus, it would have been nice if he won it at home court, like at home court. Can you imagine the arena would have exploded? But yeah, it was quiet right after. But yeah, again, like Joe said, it's gonna Francis and Gon. It's gonna be a good fight. I think that's something that we're gonna be really waiting for that thing to see, because I mean it's gonna be something that's, you know, we're gonna have two amazing fighters going at it, right? So
yeah, two big boys.
Yes.
Yeah. Joe, we're coming down to the end of the podcast, and at the end of every episode, we do something that we call Fight On Site, where we do a couple of fantasy picks. We put them up in a fantasy matchup, and we ask people to come to our Instagram on the weekend, on Saturday, and in our stories, they can vote for the winner. So we're going to need your help for part of it, but for this week, in honor of you, Joe, we're having our Fight On Site pronunciation edition.
Ooh.
So we are picking fighters whose names are difficult to pronounce. So I will go first, Prince.
All right, let's see this.
And you don't have to take weight class or anything like that into consideration, Joe. It's just like you're picking the fighter, you know? I am picking, Joe, help me out with this one, Jarezinho Rozenstruik? Struik?
Nice try. Nice try.
Nice try. That,
do you know how to say it?
All right, is that your... It's Rozenstruik, right? Or is it Struik? Rozenstruik. And it's Jarezinho.
I feel like that's exactly what
and
I said.
I know this... It sounded just like that, only it didn't. But I know this because... I did a fight, his fight, and I think it might have even been in Brazil. And he's from South America, if I'm correct. And I think I said it, Jarezinho Rozenstruik. Like I said it with the R being an H as Portuguese. Yeah. And he told them, no, it's Jarezinho Rozenstruik. And I think it's Strike, maybe. Oh, good one. But yeah.
All right. Crazy. So that is my pick for Fight On Site. Prince, yours?
All right, Joe, check this out. And in the red corner, we've got Joanna Jędrzejczyk. What do you think about that, Joe?
Have you
Was
never
it good?
Heard that before?
Is it good, though? Did I hit it? Did I get it right?
Give me one more time.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Come on, Joe, help me out,
better
man.
The first time.
Okay, you're putting me on the spot. Jorn Joychik.
What do you got, Joe?
Yeah, it's Jeon Dreichik.
Oh.
Joanna Jeon Dreichik. And I know that one because she was with Cage Warriors. She was there once. And when I talked to her before the fight, I wrote it phonetically. And what's funny is later on, when she was fighting in the U.S., she said, she referred back to me and she said, if you want to know how to say my name, ask Joe Martinez. And I was like, yeah,
wow.
Thank you. Oh, I got some love there. I was like, sweet. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think anybody says it correctly now, though. I don't think anybody says it correctly.
That's funny, yeah.
Man, I'm never listening to YouTube again. I went through YouTube, I went through Google just to see if you get it. they had like four different ways of pronouncing it, and I finally got an interview where Joanna's actually pronouncing it. I'm like, okay, I've got it, and I still messed it up. Unbelievable. I guess my future in announcing is not that bright, eh, Joe?
That's definitely bright. There's still light on you, brother. You just keep working hard. You're going to get there.
Hey, Joe, listen, I can come over to your place and I can trim that palm tree for you if you want, okay? Just you let me know, brother.
I'm glad you noticed that. I'm glad you noticed because my wife has noticed too. And she's like, when are you going to get there and get that? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe in the fall, October.
Yeah. All right, Joe, we are going to now put the two fighters up against one another, and we're going to need your help. So, Prince, do you want to explain to Joe what we need from him here?
All right, Joe, listen. Okay, now we know that you can pronounce names. I know you schooled us on how to pronounce names. Now I need your help, okay, buddy? So this fight on site, we also put these fighters in a simulator. This is like a $4 million simulator, but like we're talking millions upon millions upon millions of hard-earned money put into this bad boy, and I need your help to make the sound effects, all right? So,
ooh.
All right, so for our fight, for Tim's fighter, Rosenstrike, we've got
the Incredible Hulk on it's Hulk, a sticker.
Hulk smash.
Yes, good. It's a sticker on a straw, Joe. And
for Joanna, we've got
The Hulk Buster, the Iron Man Hulk Buster, appropriate. All right, so Joe, the two fighters are now going to fight on screen, but we need you to make the sound effects. You ready?
Okay. Okay.
Let's go, Joe.
Hey, sir. Tugada! You will pay. You will pay for that.
Yes, Joe.
And our winner for today's fight on site, again, Joanna. You know what? Every time we put that in, Joe, it always comes out. My fighter, for some reason, always comes on top. So, yeah, I've got fight on site. That's that where our pick for the fight on site on the fight simulator.
All right.
I don't think I've been a part of a worse promotion ever.
Joe, that's the tagline we're using for this podcast, that's for sure. Joe, we really appreciate you coming on the podcast. I'm so glad we got to learn so much, like understand a lot about you and get to meet you. Thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Before we let you go, is there anything you want to say or anyone that you want to shout out?
Oh, no, I just appreciate the time. And I know you guys are working hard and I'm rooting for you. I'll promote you as much as I can, you know, with my 600 whatever followers I have on Instagram.
But those are dedicated followers. Yeah, so that's what it is. Prince,
I actually know these people.
Yeah, there you go. Prince, before we go, do you want to announce who our guest is next week?
All right. So yes. So for our next guest that's going to be coming into the podcast, we have Mark El Guapo Palagawan, who's going to be coming in and talking about his boxing, talking about his fight career, and also talking about his new gym, Get Enhanced Incorporated at London, Ontario. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, Joe. He's a former pro boxer from Canada, professional record of 10-1. So. And he's just a little bit north of us with a gym, so pretty awesome. Aside from that, guys, our links are all on the screen here. You can follow us at Fight Insight Podcast on YouTube. Please go subscribe on Instagram. You can find us Spotify, wherever you get your pods. And, we'll put the links in the show notes. Joe, again, thank you so, so much for coming on. Guys, if you want a shirt or tank top of Fight Insight, please just message us at fightinsightpod@gmail.com.
XL?
Thank you. We're sending it out.
Yeah.
We will get you one. Whoa, the guns.
Yeah, that's right. See?
Hey, Joe, what's your... what?
I got to fit into it.
Joe, before you go, you know, before we end, I just got to ask, do you have a nickname?
Oh. No.
Never growing up?
You have to have a nickname.
Only Todd Grisham has ever said anything, and he called me the minister. Let's go up to the minister, Joe Martinez.
Joe!
I'm an ordained minister.
Joe A. the Minister Martinez! Oh, man, your name is so nice to pronounce, Joe. It's like, oh, man, with the R's and everything, it's perfect. I love it. You know what? One last thing. I actually went to the grocery store and I was preparing for this interview and literally I was screaming out your name in the chip aisle. The lady's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, sorry, my bad. I just wanted some Doritos.
Joe, again, thank you.
You got to live. That's awesome.
Thank you for your time, Joe. Before we go, one last thing. Do you mind just announcing our name of the podcast?
What do you want me to say, guys? Just let's do it.
Yeah.
Here are your hosts. Sounds something like that. And your host for Fight Inside Podcast, here is Timmy B and Princey D.
Yeah. Oh my God. Joe, that is the greatest. Thank you so much. We appreciate you so much. We will always be huge fans of yours and big supporters. Thank you, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks, man.
It was a pleasure. Appreciate you.
All right. Have a good one, Joe.
Peace out.